Hello and welcome once again to your weekly dose of the latest sustainability fun news, facts and reviews brought to you by the Green Elephant. This week, are you as confused by the news as we are? China leads the way on single-use plastic. Vivember ends, but never fear, sustainable shopping season begins. Woohoo! And how do you keep elephants at bay? Joining me to discuss these and more as usual is Russell. Morning, Russell.
Good morning, Mike. And how are we on this? I don't know what the weather is. I'm sitting in a cellar. Is it nice out there?
Well, I don't know. And how are we? Would assume that I know how you are as well as how I am.
Oh, that's true.
How am I? I'm good, thanks.
The royal we, maybe.
Yes, indeed. Also coming up are our sustainability selection, behind the scenes, listener feedback, and of course, fact or fake. We'll also be talking about Diageo, Hasbro, Crest, Eat Just, Foam, EVs, Go Sun, Incineration Farms, Ecoside, Blue Whales, and Barcelona. So first up this week, we review a lot of news and headlines as part of putting the Green Elephant show together. And a lot of the time, these news stories can be really confusing. So two news stories this week, and we'll link these in the show notes, but these are just indicative of some of the things we see. So the first story says, US greenhouse gas emissions see historic plummet. And so, you know, big cheer, emissions are down. And then the next story says, greenhouse gases hit record levels despite COVID, so they're up.
Boo.
Yeah. And then I saw a story which said, good news, we're on target to meet 2050 climate targets.
Did you?
Yeah, and then I saw another one that said, bad news, we're not going to meet the climate targets. it's incredibly difficult. And we read the news, we do this show every week and we look at the news. And if we find it confusing, I can't imagine how the listeners must find it.
Yeah, I mean, you can twist any statistic, can't you? And that's really the big problem. You can find a good news story in the grimmest, and in the final story today we'll prove that. Mm. But the there is this issue that we have that essentially, if you had a pint or a litre glass or a litre container, and you had a tap on full blast, that container would fill up very quickly. Mm. If we turned it slowly down a bit and halved its flow, it doesn't really stop the emissions, the container filling up and overflowing. It just does it less. and the fact that we're already in overflow mode in CO2, yeah. CO2 is always going to go up until we go into negative CO2 mm. production.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can have these two stories. They seem in conflict, but they are telling the same story.
And I guess where we like to start with these is we don't take any of the stories that we review or discuss on the show at face value. We read them and say, well, who's saying that? Who's the data behind it? And can it be believed? So the first story, the data is backed by Bloomberg, very well respected financial organization, no reason to distrust them. The second story is backed by the World Meteorological Organization, again, large, well respected body. Why would you not believe them? And the Bloomberg story is saying that steep drop in emissions, mostly as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The other story says that despite the COVID pandemic, they haven't revealed. So
it's gone up still.
It's
baffling.
It is baffling. And you can dig into the scope, scale, geography, specifics included it that underlie the story, that give the perspective that backs the headline. But as far as our listeners are concerned and readers of news are concerned, do they have the time or the inclination to drill into that underlying data set and the scope of that data to check which is which, and do they match and do they say the same thing or not? And
yeah,
it's
that's partially why we're here, isn't it? Because we
well, found, hopefully.
thinking in as partially why we always wanted to base ourselves on facts. I think that the comment is that globally emissions are projected to fall by up to 7%. Unfortunately, it's not permanent, and we need 7% a year drop every year. So are we prepared to go through what we've done in the last 9 months every year? Stop moving around, stop buying stuff, grow your own food,
stop working, stop earning a living. I'm personally prepared to do what it takes for the planet and stop working for 9 months every year, if that's what it takes.
I do not give you permission to do so.
Well, that's a shame.
What would our listeners do? They wouldn't have anybody to listen to.
They wouldn't. So let us know, listeners. Do you find headlines and stories as confusing as we do sometimes? Do you have examples of conflicting headlines that it's the same story but telling two different things? We'd love to know. Get in touch on social at GreenEllipod and let us know what you think. Whilst we're talking about letting us know what you think, we really want our listeners to give us feedback and let us know what you think about the show, because we're quite happy doing our thing and we have fun doing the show every week. And we know there are many people listening and that some people are enjoying it. What we'd like more of, though, is feedback. People to tell us, we love that bit, we don't like Russell, and can Mike host the show on his own? So...
I see,
But so...
Harsh.
What we're inviting... our listeners to do is to obviously subscribe to the podcast, but go and leave a review on iTunes or Google Podcasts. And we're going to be looking at those reviews over the next couple of weeks before Christmas. And what we're going to do is we're going to send out a package of goodies to the best review. So go and have a look at our show page and look at the show notes. It'll have a few more details, explain what to do, but go and leave us a review. And for the best review, and we won't tell you what best means. if you listen to the show, you'll get an idea of what we like and the sorts of things we like. So is it the funniest review? Is it the most in-depth review? Is it a slightly different review?
Is it the review that says that Russell's awesome and he should roast the show on his own? I'm going to get that in.
Maybe. But yeah, so the best review... we'll send some eco-based goodies to the winner. So, got a couple of weeks, and we'll announce that on the show. It's now challenge update time, and it's quite a sad day. Or is it a good day? I don't know, but it is the end. We have reached the end of our Vivember vegan challenge. How have you found the experience, Russell?
I found it difficult, I have to admit. And of course, we're saying we looked at the diet. We sampled the diet.
Yes.
I think there's a bigger, far bigger issue of the lifestyle.
Vegan lifestyle, yeah.
And we never throw ourselves into the vegan lifestyle. We had chats, haven't we, on the social where people have said, yeah, I just turned vegan in one day. And then a lot of other people, as we mentioned the other week, which was, you know, consider myself an imperfect vegan or a freegan or lots of brilliant names, but far better than Vivember. But the but it taught me a few things. I suppose that if we treat the diet, many diets we go on, and heavens knows if people knew the size of me, and you might know when we do the video show.
Former size.
I have lost 4 or 5 stone. I like my food, and we have these habits that we've grown into over 40, 50 years, and we've got favorite meals, which are roasts or, you know, sausage, egg and chips or whatever it is. And of course they went, and you kind of started looking for substitution, and that doesn't work. The vegan, as with many diets, it's like remove the fat, remove the carbs, remove the sugars, and it's like it's one thing and you kind of work around it. Vegan's a little bit more thorough. It's like replace some of the serious things that you rely on in cooking.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I've struggled with, and I think, you know, we've both admitted to being imperfect vegans over the month. I think largely we've managed, but you know, there have been slips. But yeah, for me, the challenge has been that if it was just me, I perhaps could have done it, but that's not the case. I have my two boys who have dinner, breakfast, lunch with me 3 or 4 days a week. And, you know, I have to cater for them. And yeah, it's very difficult to not only change my diet, but change their diet at the same time as well. And obviously, Russell, you've got Sarah. So, you know, it's not just the impact on you. It's the people around you that you're saying, well, I'm going vegan, therefore you've got to go vegan as well, because that's what I'm doing. And that's not easy.
No.
It's very easy for somebody that's single or perhaps
has a partner
much younger in life and can just make those decisions on their own without considering, you know, other people or other circumstances.
Yeah, and I think there's also a health concern as well. I'm not saying that vegan is an unhealthy lifestyle, but changing in a diet, any change in diet, can be troublesome, can be risky. I personally suffer from diabetes.
Yep.
Type 2 diabetes, not severe. I'm borderline since I lost weight, but I eat a lot more carbs on the vegan diet, whether that be, you know, in the form of lentils or potatoes or breads or whatever. But yeah, I did eat a lot more carbs, which means that I think I'm suffering a little bit from higher blood sugars, bizarrely enough. Yeah. So I've yet to have that tested. So it's more of a feeling.
And how's the weight? Your weight changed at all?
I lost 4 pounds, which in a 4-week challenge is not bad.
No, I pretty much stayed the same.
But then you're closer to ideal weight anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a real veganism. To be honest, hats off to anybody that wants to live the lifestyle. I don't think I could commit to it.
That does bring us on to, you know, what's next? What are you going to do longer term? What are you going to?
So I acknowledge that, you know, we are, if nothing else, want to be sustainable. But I think one of the things we've always said is that we want to be balanced and sustainable. Mm. And veganism, I see, is probably one of the more extreme approaches to reducing your meat, i.e. no meat, no dairy, no, you know, nothing that is drawing upon the animal kingdom to provide as such. I'm prepared to accept that we do need to reduce our consumption of dairy and meats. And so that's what Sarah and I decided to do, is do that, is limit perhaps where we would previously use meat, is to move to more vegetable based meals, so that we expand our repertoire. And eventually, you never know, we might shrink the meat down to zero.
Yeah. I think, you know, from my perspective, I don't think I'm going to be committing to a 100% vegan diet. But that is probably more from a dairy perspective. I think the meat I can happily go without. And I didn't eat a lot of meat before. And I think I will continue in the same vein. I might have some meat, you know, might have some chicken once a month or something like that. It's not a big part of my diet anyway. It's the dairy thing. And I think what we're going to try and do after this is instead of going to the supermarket for milk and eggs and those kind of things, is make sure I get it from the local farm shop, so that, you know, at least if not being perfect, we're doing something and not contributing to mass milk dairy farming, not committing to, you know, the battery hen kind of situation. So it's not perfect, but you know what, if everybody in the world did what we're going to do going forwards, the world would be a massively different place.
It would,
you know, if everybody ate meat once a month and used local free range dairy, wow, the world would be different. And so I think, you know, it's not something to feel bad about. It's a, you know.
And I think one of the other things, when I was looking at some of the happy pie charts you looked at as to why meat was devastating and why meat production from farm to plate was causing such a massive CO2 impact, you saw a lot of it a lot of the score, possibly a quarter, even up to a third, was attributing to waste, either out of a kilo of meat that is shipped, a quarter to a third of it will be thrown in the bin. Yeah. Now, that'll either be because you're trimming off meat or fat or whatever, but it's just as much as, oh, crumbs, that pork chop has gone off because it can only stand 2 days in the fridge, and you throw it in the bin. And that is absolutely needs to stop. And then the other thing is using everything. So if you have a chicken, then boil the carcass off and make yourself a stock and a soup. So it's we got to cut the waste as well as reduce the meat.
So that's the end of Vivember. Now we're into December, and we mentioned this last week, and we've put some stuff on social, but we're into our next challenge, which is
avoiding Christmas music.
Not avoiding Christmas music. I think there's some, I think there might have been some jingle bells in the intro of this show. the next challenge is sustainable seasonal shopping. So we are going to do everything we can to have a sustainable holiday season and to shop sustainably. I've already started, and I'm hoping that my children don't listen to this show. there is a recycled device coming with digital products. That's all I'm going to say. So the footprint of that is almost nothing, because those things exist. I'm not creating new ways, not creating new products. So those are the sorts of things that
we're going to be doing.
And
there shouldn't be a stigma behind secondhand anything, really. And you buy secondhand, not perhaps because it's cheaper, but perhaps because it's better to buy something that's already been used. One of the things we've done as a family is that instead of us buying 8 presents, each person buying a present for everybody else, we've gone for what I could only refer to as an unsecret Santa, I suppose. because last time we tried the secret Santa, it doesn't work when people turn up at different times of year and drop their presents off. So it's one present. It has to be with an eye on sustainability, no single-use plastics, reduced packaging. Yep. Ideally, start thinking secondhand. Start thinking differently about the presents you give. And then I think next week I'll what I tried last year is a different wrapping technique, and I think I'll keep that for next week because we were.
I already have
all my clues.
I already have a brown paper wrapped secondhand present off to somebody. So yeah, so more on seasonal sustainable shopping next time. But in the meantime, listeners, we've got two questions to ask you. Firstly, what are you doing to shop sustainable or have a sustainable season this year? And secondly, we'd like to ask you where you're shopping. If you've got a great sustainable store that you're shopping at, let us know and we'll give them a mention on the show. We really want to promote those sustainable local small businesses that are doing the right thing. So if you've got a sustainable business that you're shopping at this year, let us know and we'll give some mentions on the show over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and if you can point us to their Instagram page, we'll give them a big up there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, review recommendation for the week, and this week we want to talk about the Climate Change Performance Index. We're really fans of stats and facts, and this, I think, wins some simplicity awards because it seeks to be an independent monitor of countries' climate performance, and it's updated every year since 2005. So every year, climate performance by countries comes out, and it is so simple to use. There are some check boxes, say show me the overall results, and you'll see the bad countries in red, the good countries in green, and you can filter it by renewable energy and see which countries are good or bad, or climate policy and see which are good or bad. It's got a further breakdown by different categories. So it makes for a really, really interesting reading. So really easy to see it on a map, really easy to see it visually. And then it also has data tables. So you can see, for example, that Latvia is one of the highest in using renewable energy. Who knew that? The UK, where we are, is doing okay. Whereas if you happen to be based in Malaysia, then bad news, there's not much renewable energy going on there. So it's a really simple to use, really visual record of how countries are performing against different categories with their climate performance. So yeah, just encourage everyone to go and have a look at that. It's a pretty useful resource. Russell is stunned into silence. He can't believe how good that resource is.
It is. I suppose my only comment is because I'd missed this. And so you caught me on the hop, I'll be honest. And suddenly found it. And then come looking at it, overall results. And obviously the first thing I turn my eyes to is, well, there's these stinking great red ones.
Absolutely.
But when you look at the key, overall results, very low. And I'm going, very low? What's this? And then we're high in the UK and high in Denmark. And I'm thinking, the colours are very low, are red, which normally says bad, and high is good, which is high is normally bad in greenhouse emissions. But it's just a little bit of you've got to flip your head slightly to go, yep. Yeah, the score, if your score is very low, that is bad. If your score is high, then that is good. And as soon as you get that, then it starts to make a little bit more sense. I was stunned into this, looking at it going, but I'm glad to see the UK is doing, as you say, is doing it okay.
Doing okay.
However, there is a great raft of countries
that aren't
assessed. But, and now, admittedly, the Africas are probably not huge emitters of greenhouse. But they are massively developing. As we know, in China is pumping money into Africa. There's a danger that Africa could become our next problem area.
So you mentioned China. Yeah. And really, when we talk about China, it's normally
bad news.
Bad news about coal and emissions and pollution. But we got a really great story from China this week. China gets tough on firms over single-use plastics. China is forcing restaurants, e-commerce platforms, and delivery services to report their use of single-use plastics. What an amazing thing this is. The Ministry of Commerce said it established a nationwide systems for retailers to report their plastic consumption. The rise in home food deliveries has caused volumes to surge. But in September, the ministry said single-use plastic bags and eating utensils would be banned from major cities by the end of the year. So they're not hanging around. They're saying it's September. In 3 months, these are banned, which is, you know, that's incredible. And they've got massive problems with waste. They've got huge mega dumps that are just full 25 years earlier than they should be. But back to Vivembo, when you were talking about wasting food, the Chinese president Xi Jinping has just said to his people, stop wasting food. And in a regime like that, if that president says stop wasting food, you stop wasting food. They've also brought in a new solid waste law in September, which increases fines for people who have solid waste. It's just, and they also brought in a new law that says we will construct a recycling infrastructure. And if you know what construction is like in China, where it just happens at an absolutely incredible rate, you can imagine within a year or two, there's going to be this huge recycling infrastructure to deal with all this. So it was just a story that I saw and thought, I was gobsmacked that.
Yeah, yeah. And I it's interesting that they link food deliveries to the problem, I thought. The thing with takeaways, and we had a takeaway for our anniversary, a vegan takeaway from our local, new local spicy Indian. Lovely as it was, we ordered what we thought to be a reasonable amount, and we got more than we could eat in one meal. As it happened, it turned into
lunch the next day.
Now, yeah, that's fine. We didn't waste any of it. But there are many people that will get to the end of a meal, go, I can't eat that, throw it in the bin. And so, and then the plastic containers or foil containers, which they don't wash out, and so they shove them in the bin as well. Stuff that could be recycled or reused goes. And that's, China's obviously gone, you know, stats, whether coincidental or otherwise, they match the two together.
Yeah, I think the astonishing thing is, if you imagine in Western society and cultures where a government was thinking about forcing organizations to report their plastic use, it would go out for consultation, there would be lobbyists, there'll be several votes in whatever democratic system they have before eventually there was a law and a white paper, and it'd be to'd and fro'd and amended, and eventually
get to the Lords, 5 years, back to the...
5 years down the line, there might be a law. China have just said, here's the law, 3 months, it's done.
Yeah.
And being able to operate at that kind of speed is something in Western democratic society we could never dream of achieving. And that was, for me, the astonishing thing about this story is that if China becomes serious about tackling climate change and tackling waste as it is here, because of the system, they can do it almost instantly.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, how would we ever achieve something like that you know, the UK or the US?
There's a good chance that China, having taken away the mantle of the biggest polluter or the biggest CO2 emitter in the world from America, will rapidly pass that back to America very soon, unless Joe Biden's $2 trillion makes a difference.
Yeah. So, astonishing, and I think a great story.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at some other big sustainability news stories from the week. Diageo are to use 100% recycled content in their packaging by 2030. Now, I happen to know a bit about Diageo because I helped design their global IT a few years back. So I know a lot about their business, and they have got huge numbers of brands under their control. So if you haven't heard of Diageo, it is things like Johnnie Walker, Smirnoff, Guinness, Walker's Crisps, and all sorts of other global brands that you will have heard of. And their plan by 2030 is to get to recycled packaging across their range. So that's not an insignificant undertaking for an organisation of their size.
That's good. Yeah. Well, another bit of good news coming from Hasbro. Now,
Make some good toys, don't they?
They do make some good toys, and they've just given a recent update on their corporate social responsibility. And they're establishing a goal to eliminate all plastic. Now, don't worry, Mr. Potato Head will still exist because it's all plastic in packaging of new products.
Mr. Potato Head's still going to be plastic. It's just his package. It's just his package, which is not going to be plastic.
Yeah. So I can kind of, you have to read that very carefully. It's eliminate all plastic would be a bit like Lego doing that, wouldn't it? It would be somewhat devastating to their brand. But they're looking to achieve a goal of virtually 100% renewable energy, although they're doing that through investment in renewable energy credits predominantly. And also this back to the circular economy, and they're doing a toy recycling program, and they're extending that to 6 countries. So, I mean, generally, toy manufacture, as you've said, Christmas, perhaps secondhand is a better route than going and buying yourself a brand new potato head. There are secondhand potato heads are available, and of course other toys are available, people. Yes. But we're not the BBC. If you want to send us a potato head, that's fine. It's kind of good.
So a new recycled drinks cup initiative now, and I don't think you've ever been to a sports stadium and had a beer, but if you do go to a sports stadium and have a beer, you tend to get it in a plastic, we call them skiffs in the UK, but it's like a plastic glass, if you like, which you kind of throw away. But the new Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas is introducing infinitely recyclable aluminium cups for all its drinks, and so it's a collaboration between the stadium, Coors Light, who are a beer maker, and the Ball Corporation. So 100,000 of these cups at each event. I mean, that's a lot of cups they're going to get through. If any listeners know who plays at the Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, I'd love to know whether it's American football or baseball or what. I don't know. But
well, I have actually been to the Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
New York.
But that's in New York.
That was baseball. So, but even so, massive event, lots of people eating, lots of people drinking.
Yeah.
And these cups, I love the way they refer to the 20 fluid ounces, which is good old Americanism. So to the people that live metric, that's just what, 0.6 of a liter or something like that. So that's what the size of cups that they tend to drink there.
Yeah. Or a pint in old money.
Well, it's a little bit over, yeah. A little bit over a pint. So this is a place to go if you want a beer. Yep. Thinking about recycling, keeping on that, good old Procter & Gamble, obviously one of the big mega corporations that have got lots of brands, have got oral care brands like Crest and Oral-B. They are looking and committing to achieving a 100% recyclable or reusable packaging. So the good old toothpaste tube, which is notoriously difficult to clean, for one, and to recycle, and not generally recycle.
My question on this one is, when I was younger, I remember toothpaste coming in aluminium tubes that you used to squeeze the tube out, the toothpaste out of. It was a metal tube, not a plastic one.
Yeah, yes, you are right. You're absolutely right.
So why not just go back to the aluminium tubes and use those?
I think one of the big problems is, and Malaysia brought this up, is a lot of our recycling goes away from our countries, as many, many countries ship their problem away from their shores because they can't recycle. And the Malaysia got a bit cheesed off because we weren't cleaning it properly. I mean, I'm being a little bit glib about that, but essentially we were sending them partially waste as well as the aluminium. So maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know. Anyway. We'll
Did
see.
Did somebody say eat just... No, it's somebody say just eat, isn't it? I got the wrong one. But every time I see this story, I just hear that just eat advert. But this is a company called Eat Just.
Right.
And they've been the first company in the world that's got regulatory approval to sell to the end consumer lab-grown meat. It's in Singapore, and it's kind of lab-grossed chicken. And it's going to be sold in Singapore. We've mentioned lab-grown meats lots of times on the show, and this is the first one that's commercially available. And I like this. No chickens were killed to obtain the cells to use in Eat Just. I like that. Well, no chickens within 100 miles of it, but yeah.
And if any of you were upset by Mike singing...
Yes, I'm sorry. please write in and complain, and I won't do it again. I've been told I have a voice like a Hoover, so.
So we're obviously still hungry, having cleaned our teeth and eaten lab-grown chicken and drunk out of aluminium cups. We're now thinking about insulating our buildings with a new type of foam that has been engineered, created, using cellulose and a plant substance. Here we go, polylactic acid, corn-based polylactic acid. Sorry, I missed it. And with the idea of being able to replace insulation that is notoriously difficult to get rid of, it doesn't decompose. Yeah. Can take 1,000 years to get rid of, and they've created this something which will decompose. Now, I think it's fascinating, and presumably it decomposes under certain circumstances when wet, and ideally. Insulation in your house or your office would be not wet. But the one that troubled me on this one is this type of insulator is not only safe, but also combustible and decomposable. And I kind of went, I don't know if I really...
You can set it on fire. Does it mean you can eat it?
No, combustible. You can set it on fire. I mean, it's not to be confused with flammable and inflammable. It is basically combustible, which presumably you can set fire to it, but presumably isn't a fire risk in your home.
But it reminds me of it, just if so listeners can visualize it. It's like the kind of the squirty foam you put around the edges of doors and double glazed windows and things like that to fill gaps. It's that kind of stuff. And I guess if that is on fire, then there's something either inside or outside that's already on fire to get to that stage. So,
but the idea is not to put anything in your house's insulation which is combustible. But interestingly enough, you know, I've also read recently, and throwing a different thing in, is that farmers can't sell wool, and wool is a great insulator. Mm. And perhaps we should be looking to, and sheep are shearing, Sean, for their own health and benefit. So the wool is an output from keeping the sheep healthy.
Yeah.
But so they could be a better alternative as well, instead of creating something in a lab.
Good news on batteries now, because one of the issues with batteries, and we've talked electric vehicles and phones and all sorts of things, is the lithium that is used and the mining of that lithium. That's an environmental problem. But there's a company in Finland called Fortum, who have patented a new way of recovering lithium from existing batteries. So, I mean, this is brilliant news in that they are now able to reclaim the lithium and all other elements from existing batteries, which means that they can then sell sustainable batteries on the back of that, which is, you know, a great thing. Let's imagine we recycle all the lithium that's already been mined, and we don't have to dig up nearly so much from the ground.
That's great.
A good initiative.
Perhaps I should say, here comes the sun. There you go. It's nothing to do with, apart from it's got sun in the words.
No.
Do this.
Yeah, you had to do it, didn't you?
Well, you'd done it. I thought I'd better get my, at least people can comment and make a comparison now.
Who's the better singer?
Neither. Don't ever do it.
Neither.
That would be the feedback. Yeah.
Yes.
There's this new product that's coming to market, hopefully around April 2021. It's just one of Kickstarter called Go Sun Flow, portable sink and shower, and the Go Sun Go Solar Oven, along with its solar-powered travel mug. So they've created a mug or a solar system, which is very, very portable. You unwrap it, you've got a stack of panels, you can lay out, you can basically charge up this travel mug, which can then brew you your cup of coffee without you having to light a fire.
I mean, this is great. You don't need to take a camping stove and heat up water or whatever. You can just make your brew. And the other thing that occurred to me is that I have a couple of friends I can think of.
No, you haven't.
Okay. There are a couple of people I know who don't have hot drinks because they don't want to use the energy needed to brew the kettle. They see that as a waste of energy. They don't have hot drinks. But if there was a solar drinks brewer, how good would that be? Imagine if, you know, they talk about energy spikes in the middle of, you know, an England football match where everybody leaves and turns the kettle on. Imagine if everybody didn't leave and turn the kettle on, they just use solar power to brew that,
you know,
the reduction in energy. So this could be the small end of a very, very large wedge.
But the big win here is, especially because we're very conscious of what's happening in Australia and California and any number of places, these wildfires, some of which could have been created by people lighting fires to make themselves a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or cook their meal. And this thing will also allow you to charge your laptop 3 times. Mm. It's a mighty powerful energy store, which you can pack away into something the size of a small laptop. Yeah. Okay. Brilliant.
Good. Plastic whales. I'm mixing two stories up. Plastic waste, plastic waste incineration skyrockets carbon emissions. So, and this is indicative of so many things we see in sustainability, in that in trying to do the right thing, an inadvertent problem is created elsewhere. So trying to save one species of animal and introducing them to an environment endangers another. And in this case, in trying to get rid of plastic waste by burning it, we're actually creating more emissions by using incinerators to burn that waste. But onto the story that I was getting confused, blue whales. have rediscovered South Georgia. And I think, you know, back at the turn of the 1900s, before mass whaling was really at its peak, South Georgia was somewhere where, you know, the largest living creatures were found in abundance, and they'd gone from there for 30 years, I think, and now they've returned. So good news to see wildlife recovering.
Yeah, they haven't really made much comment on in the story about it, but there's a lot of stories as where the fishing, the drop in fishing that's happened during the pandemic has meant that they have more access to more of the ocean and have migrated there. Worrying story now, and especially as we look towards the world's farmers to increase the their productivity with regards to plant based foods that we've been using a lot more of in the last month. Reports come out that shows that 1% of the world's farms operate, 1% of farms operate 70% of the world's farmland. Wow. And what has happened since the 1980s, where in the 1980s, when a lot of people moved to actually getting their own ownership of their homes through the 90s to now when nobody can afford anything. We've got this same situation cropping up where we have these mega farms and they own vast tracts of land, to coin a Monty Python phrase, which are operated by single farmers. And
I guess squeezing out the smaller farmers.
That smallholder. And the big problem that sits with that is these smaller farmers, family farmers, you know, indigenous farmer groups and communities are more cautious with their land. They do better crop rotation. Mm. They do better composting. They do a broad variety of foods and therefore support a wider insect life and plant.
And don't contribute to soil degradation and things.
That's right. And these massive, massive things, of course, in it for the big bucks. So we get back to our planet, people and prosperity. It doesn't serve anyone really, except prosperity for big business.
Of a few. Yeah.
Yeah.
Barcelona now, and Barcelona, like many other large cities around the world, has problems with air quality. In 2019, it recorded high levels of nitrogen dioxide.
Easy for you to say.
Well, not really. exceeding EU and World Health Organization limits. And, you know, this is like, say, lots of other cities in the world, and what Barcelona have decided to do about this is to transform their streets into car-free zones. So they picked a whole district, the example district in Barcelona, it's a business district, and they're going to make it a completely car-free zone, and they're going to turn all the streets into kind of small gardens and green areas. And it just sounds like a really nice way, not only to get rid of the pollution, but to make the city, it was a nice city anyway, into a more pleasant place to be in and exist for the people of that city.
That's great. Great news. Yeah. And an interesting development next with a new word. You've heard of pesticide and homicide and genocide. We now have ecocide. And ecocide has been coined by the Stop Ecocide Foundation. So they really bought into it by putting it in their name. Mm. And they're moving now. Funnily enough, one of the first things is my hope is that this group will be able to forge a definition that is practical, effective and sustainable. So we've got the word. We just don't know what it means at the moment. And so there is a foundation launched at the same time as the 75th anniversary of the start of the Nuremberg war crimes. Basically, what they're saying is ecocide should be a crime. Punishable.
And there is a small definition. It says the illegal dispossession of land, destruction of environment, and the exploitation of natural resources. So that's kind of a start of a 10, if you like, on the definition.
But of course, then how do you measure any of that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a challenge, but it's obviously a coming legal thing according to the International Criminal Court.
That'll be good. Yeah. I think.
So, listener feedback, and We posted up a quote from David Attenborough, and many of you agreed, and it said, don't waste energy, don't waste food, don't waste power. It was really don't waste anything. And Eco for Life, Simple Bug, May You Water, and others all agreed with, you know, the fact that we shouldn't waste anything. We also, our recommendation this week for the Climate Change Performance Index, we posted a map for that. Mineage Plasticu, who is a regular listener and commenter, was really disappointed to see that their country, Poland, was red and among the worst that there are. But the Simple Bug pointed out that what many of us are thinking, really, which is we need to do a much better generally as a planet.
Just because you're green doesn't mean you're great.
Yeah. We had some interesting facts or fakes last week on email, and particularly the one on spam, and there were a variety of opinions, and lots of people thought that the 50%, as Russell did actually on the show, thought that the spam number was a lot more than that. Sustainably G, Caramello Delight thought it was much more than that. They agree with you, Russell. But one of our favourite listener names, Pasty Man, he got it right. He thought it was a fact. Well done, Pasty Man. But strangely, for feedback for this week, and I don't quite know where this happened, we discussed something and posted a couple of months back, which was asking, what's more important? Is it the seas? Is it the trees? Or is it the bees? Which one of those is most important? Mm-hmm. And this week, for some reason, we had a whole lot of people feedback on this, and the majority of views from Trev Punked, The Halo Effect, Peach Auto, Green Redream, Vegan Sam, Acorn Marketing, Sea Pigs, and Eco Feminine, and lots of others, was that it's impossible to pick one. And that's a really interesting topic, isn't it? If you've got to do one, the seas, the trees, or the bees, which would you do?
And it comes back to another triple bottom line, I guess.
It does. Yeah. Something in there. Anyway, moving on to behind the scenes for the week. Lots going on, as always, at the Green Elephant and at our sister company, Planet Devices. From the Green Elephant, things are moving ahead, and the video show will be with you in the new year. So you'll be able to experience the pleasure of mine and Russell's faces every week.
I need a haircut.
Yeah, me too. So slightly different format to the audio Green Elephant show. We're going to continue to bring you news, but there'll be a few other features. We've been working on some products, and if you enter and review the show, then you could be one of the first people to receive some of those products for free. But aside from that, a lot of work on Planet Devices and our first eco energy saving product. And we've been working with designers in terms of getting our logos and branding done. And you'll have seen some of that on our social. We also have the initial drawings and moving into the prototypes for the product. So that's really exciting. And that will be coming to you in the new year. We will let you know about the crowdfunder that's coming up, and hopefully in the spring you'll be able to purchase a product which will save you some energy without changing your lifestyle at all. So that's really exciting, and those are the things that we've been occupied with this week. So now I don't even have to ask if it's Russell's favorite time of the week, because I know it is. And our headline story this week was about confusing headlines, and sometimes you don't know whether they're true or not. So I've trawled the news outlets, and I've found a few headlines. And what I need Russell to do this week is tell me whether these headlines are fact or fake. So here we go. First headline, Russell.
Yes.
Banning petrol and diesel cars from 2030 will create 30,000 new jobs.
Well, presumably that's because there's new electric batteries, car charging. I'm just reasoning it out as to whether 30,000. I'm going to say fact.
That is a fact, yes. So the move to electric will create 30,000 new jobs. So, Boaty McBoatface now. Headline is, Michael Caine records the safety broadcasts on a ship named after David Attenborough.
Oh, I only meant to blow the ready doors off. that would be worrying if I heard that in an announcement. It sounds, that sounds fake.
It is a fake. It's actually David Attenborough has recorded the safety broadcast on his own ship. David Attenborough records the broadcast on the Sir David Attenborough boat.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. Here's one. plastic recycling in South Korea in crisis.
Oh, is that all I get?
That's all you get.
South Korea, plastic recycling in South Korea in crisis.
Yep.
I would say on the basis, I don't know, fact, that's a complete guess.
Another lucky guess.
Yes, very much.
I was hoping you might think that South Korea being an advanced country might be on top of it. Okay.
Yes.
Next up, Chinese fishing fleets threaten the Galapagos.
That's a long way to go from China. Wow. It sounds horrific enough to be true. So I'd say fact.
It is true, yes.
Yeah.
Another fact.
That's
so
horrendous.
The Chinese are, the Galapagos is nowhere near China. It's South America. And finally, for fact or face, this week, it's maybe a consolation prize because Russell's already won. Elon Musk to announce 100,000 mile battery.
100,000 mile battery?
Yep.
A 100,000 mile battery?
Yep.
I always thought Elon Musk should produce a perfume, to be fair. I'm going to say... that's just ridiculous. 100,000 miles, that's that four times around the world. Fact.
I win one at last. The actual story was Musk to announce a 1,000,000 mile battery. Was the actual story, which is
okay. 250 times around the world.
Yeah. So that concludes Fact or Fake for another week. And finally, before we go. A trench is being dug around a rubbish dump in Sri Lanka. And this is to try and stop elephants from scavenging for food among mounds of plastic waste. Apparently, elephants regularly swarm to the landfill site near a wildlife sanctuary in the eastern town of Ampara. Now, apparently, they've got many of these large waste sites in Sri Lanka, and apparently, they get swarms of elephants on them.
All, can you imagine? I mean, we thought we had trouble with seagulls, like
all searching for food scraps. But I like this. They've dug a trench to try and keep these elephants out. But before that, they tried an electric fence.
but
the elephants just broke through it.
Brilliant.
A herd of elephants just kind of stampeding through electric fences. So enjoyed that one. However, unfortunately, there is a darker side to this story because alongside the food scraps, the elephants also eat plastic, which unfortunately slowly kills some of them. But anyway, if you've enjoyed the show, then please do go and visit the show page at greenelephant.show. There you can find links to all the stories we've discussed, instructions on how to leave us a review, and find us on all the usual podcast providers. Please do go and visit and review it, as it really helps us continue to make the show and hopefully keep you entertained. So hopefully we'll see you at greenelephant.show or on social at greenelipod. And until next time, thanks for listening, and we hope you have a sustainable week.